The Americans once had a war called the Vietnam War. It was a long war. Eventually they decided that this will never be finished. They'll never win it. So they decided to give up. They decided to move out. And they decided to move out quite quickly, actually. It was like there wasn't much time. And they had leftover weapons, a lot of them, helicopters, ships. And what they did with them all was they sunk them into the harbour somewhere in Vietnam. Everyone's seeing the picture, I think it was, of seeing a helicopter on this, fight helicopters, we're not talking about cheap things, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of equipment, being pushed overboard of a ship somewhere near Vietnam, because they didn't want the other side to get it, and they need to get out already, so they just pushed them overboard. Unfortunately, Ramban gets almost like second place, but there are many Rambans which really every person should have a schus to learn. There's a Ramban in this week's parsha, which I try and make the effort every year to look through, because it gives a lot of chizuk. Ramban, I'm not going to say that, we've got a lot of different topics, parshas Baham v'chukosai, but I'll just speak in any order, just things that people can think about over Shabbos. But the Ramban, a very powerful Ramban. The Ramban speaks about the pasuk v'shomu aleo yveichem, that when Klal Yisrael will be sent into Golus, they will be, the land of Eretz Yisrael will be desolate. The goyim will not find comfort in Eretz Yisrael. V'shomu aleo yveichem, that they will be in desolation. The Ramban says b'sura teva, this is a wonderful news. And he says beautiful lishenis. If you look in this Ramban, it's in Bashas b'chukosai. It's very powerful, it's very worthwhile to read every year. He says as follows. He says, there's no land in the world which was as beautiful and settled like Eretz Yisrael. We know there were 31 kings who just, each one happy because Eretz Yisrael. Each one wanted a small area in Eretz Yisrael. It was such a precious land. It was like the most beautiful place in the world was Eretz Yisrael. And once Klal Yisrael went into Golus, he says like this, "Klisimotzi b'chol yishuv eretz ashituva v'chovo." You'll never find a land which was as beautiful and as special as Eretz Yisrael. And once it became the Golus, there's nobody who's, it's a chaveva, it's a destroyed land. Everybody tries to live in Eretz Yisrael, but in Leil Yodam they're not able to. The time of the Ramban, Eretz Yisrael was a land of desolation. Even till 100 years ago, Eretz Yisrael was a place full of mosquitoes, malaria, there was no settlements, and yet it was a land, a beautiful land. Why did that happen? The answer is because Eretz Yisrael was made for Klal Yisrael. And the biggest proof is you see how beautiful it was, and the second the Eden left, it became completely uninhabitable. It's a very powerful Ramban if you think about it. Today, it's a sort of export, fruit and vegetables, go to Lidl and get everywhere, you have to be careful what you buy. It's changed, it's completely changed. And the reality is 100 years ago, it wasn't like that 100 years ago. Nobody wanted to live there, it's so. The Arabs who live there now is only because the Eden came back. And we see this message of the Ramban in a very powerful oifen, that When there's no Yidin, Eretz Yisrael is not willing. It's not for them. On the Poshto level, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is so great that Shvuch is not going to waste it on the going. But when you've got Yidin coming back into Eretz Yisrael, then suddenly the Eretz Yisrael becomes a land full of fruit, and it becomes an inhabitable land, it becomes a beautiful land. And going back to that image which I once saw, that it's a very professional means that you're pushing these helicopters, I think, you know, each one of these helicopters is worth hundreds of millions of dollars. If we just, instead of pushing one over, sell it and give you the mice so we could support the Kelim in Manchester for a day or two. But the reality is that it's something very precious. You don't give it over to the enemy. And it saw is very, very precious. Hashem never wanted it to be given over to the enemy. It's only for Klal Yisrael. It's a Moedik Chizuk. I find a lot of Chizuk in these words of the Ramban.
Look at the last half of the Surahs.
Right. Right. There's also one other Ramban which I feel is very important to go through to a person at the time. It's Mamish Kedai. We don't understand Darchei Hashem. We have no knowledge, no understanding. And one of the big questions that people always have is the Holocaust. Holocaust is a terror. It's a question. And the answer is we don't know. But it's very interesting is that a person gets a lot of chizuk in the munna from this. A tremendous amount of munna. How? There's no nation in the world that has suffered like Klal Yisrael. If wants to add up all the persecution, the other nations have disappeared, they've integrated into other nations. But in the amount of suffering and persecution that Klal Yisrael have had, it's no nation in the world has had a fraction of what we've had. So, and the reality is the Torah tells exactly that. It's not a chiddush in a way, because the Torah in Parshas Kisavo and Parshas Lechukos, this week's Parsha, describes to us exactly that this is what's going to happen to us. So it gives us a chizuk and a munna. We might have a question why, what was the reason, what was the purpose, and these questions we don't understand, Darchei Hashem. But the fact is that it happened, that all this persecution existed, is exactly stated in the Torah that this is what's going to happen. And there's a Ramban in this week's Parsha, again, another in Parsha B'chukos, a very, very interesting Ramban, where he goes to Parshas B'chukos and Parshas Kisavoy. And he compares, he'll spot the difference, right? Spot the difference between Bechukosah and Kisavoy. And he describes how Bechukosah is the Chubun Bayis Rishon, and Kisavoy is Chubun Bayis Sheni. Bechukosah comes first, that happened much earlier. And he describes how all the Psukim fit beautifully. If you go through the Psukim, the Cheshbon, it's a very, very, very powerful Ramban. I'm going to say a few Nekudas, is that in Parshas Bechukosah he talks about Avodah Zorah. In Kisavoy it doesn't. And that makes a lot of sense. Chum Bayis Rishon was because Gimel Averes Chamuris. Vashenkin Bayis Sheni was a Sinas Chinom. In fact, it says, Lehafachim is Prissi in Parshas Bechukos Yisai, which is Bemis what Klal Yisrael did. He started doing the terrible Averes. It doesn't say that in Kisavoy. It just says, Loisish Mulasois. Also, it mentions the Reach, Reach Dichoychachem, that Shvorch will get pleasure from the Reach Dichoyach, which is something which only happened in Parshas Bechukos Yisai. It doesn't say it in Kisavoy. Because only in the first Beis HaMikdash was there Reach Dichoyach, the second Beis HaMikdash there wasn't. He goes through Kehena VeKehena, again, differences that exist between Bechukosah and Kisavoy. He describes one for Bayis Rishon and one for Bayis Sheni. For example, in our Parsha Bechukosah, it mentions that the Shvorch will then be able to fulfill the 70 years of Shmita. And we know that Chumah Bayis Rishon existed only, well, there was only for 70 years that Golos. While Kisavoy, it says the Ramban, there is no time limit. It's when you actually do proper tshuva, which is our golos, which was only, there is no time limit, is when we do tshuva. And the end of the Parashat Bechukos, at the end of the Teicha, doesn't describe a tremendous new love and a new ke'ula and a new Yeshua. It puts it all down to that was a chaltes bissi, I remember the bis of Omitz Kanyak, and I'll take you back. There's no brochas that everything's going to be good again. Mashenk, the end of Kisavoy, it is. It's very, very interesting Ramban. If first got the time to go through it, it's very, very kedai. It gives a tremendous amount of chizuk, as we said. Now, we don't understand Darkei Hashem. But when we see how the Torah tells us exactly how it's going to be, and we see how beautifully it fits in, gives us a chizuk. This is all cheshbon, which we would understand. It gives us a tremendous emunah. Hakshvoch has got it all planned. There's one word I want to say. It's a hard word. Yeshua HaMelech, you mentioned him in the Haftarah and Pesach, and I'm sure that many of you felt a tremendous pang that the Pasuk can say such wonderful things about Yeshua HaMelech. Which you can't possibly imagine. There was never a king, the Pasuk finishes off in the Haftarah, there was never a king that returned to Hashem with all his heart before him and after him. Can you imagine such a statement? He was a little boy when he became king, very, very young child, wasn't bar mitzvah yet. And in his day, there was no such thing as seeing a Sefer Torah. They didn't even know what a Sefer Torah was. And he did Shuvah, he killed all the Avodah Zorah, and he eradicated the Avodah Zorah from Eretz Yisrael. And yet he had a very tragic death. He was killed in battle. And he said a vort of this week's parasha, and this vort, the chur costed him his life. Rashi mentions this vort. Pasuk says, "V'sati shalom ba'aretz," I'll put peace in the land. and the Potka is on Mishpati Chayavo, V'cherb Leisavri Ba'atzchem, and no war, no armies will go through your land. And the obvious question is, if the Pasuk begins by telling us that there will be Sholim Ba'aretz, there will be peace in the land, of course no armies will go through the land. What does that mean? And he says the answer is that, of course, there will be no battles in Eretz Yisrael. But what the Pasuk is telling us, that even a passing army won't go through Eretz Yisrael. That means if two other nations are fighting, and they want to send an army through Eretz Yisrael, even that won't happen. And that's a special bracha, because at the end of the day, when a person sees an army going through the land, even if they have no intention of attacking, a person gets a certain amount of fear, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that even that won't be. That's how Yeshua Melech explained the Pasuk. And what happened was, Ashur and Par and Nechori were having a fight, and they wanted to send an army through Eretz Yisrael. And Yeshua and Melech Darshan in this Pasuk, and he says, there's no way, you're not allowed to, you can't come through the land, there's no Avodah Zorah. And the Pasuk says, V'chev Leisavri Ba'atzechem. And what happened was, he went to battle, and he got shot hundreds of times with arrows, and as he was bleeding to death, he said, Tzadiku Hashem Kipiu Morisi, and there's a Moedek and Medroshim and Chazal about all the stories of Yeshua. And it's very interesting, actually, one of the kinnas on Tisha B'Av is devoted completely to Yeshua Melech. In fact, Rashi says, Echo Yom Azor, the fourth perk of Echo, is also devoted to Yeshua Melech. Don't say one deher. It's like this. He said a vort, which is true. He was 100% right. He made a mistake in the fact that there were people doing Avodah Zorah, and they were hiding the Avodah Zorah. What they did was they had these doors, but like these doors over here as you come in, where you have to open both doors as you come in and out. So they managed to put Avodah Zorah on both doors. When you open the door, you won't be able to see because it would be disjointed. And that way, the people that Yeshua Melech sent out, the police that he sent, the soldiers he sent to eradicate Avodah Zorah, could never spotted it. So what happened was, that way, he wasn't able to totally eradicate Avodah Zorah, and that's why he died. The question is, here you've got a man, the king, nobody greater than him. Man, if you think about the Pasuk, every Pesach, when hear the Haftarah, you think, imagine such a thing said about somebody, and nobody was like him in Moshe Rabbeinu that returned to Hashem. And he said a vort which was true, and for that he gets killed. And the answer is, because Yirmiyahu Novi told him that he's wrong. And therefore, even though Yeshua Melech was 100% right in his own cheshbon, he had a Da'as Torah that told him that he's wrong. It's something to think about. That means a person has to be aware that you can make your cheshbonis, but you're only seeing it from your perspective. And if you've got a Novi and a Torah that tells you otherwise, you have to realize that you have to submit yourself to what Torah says, even if your cheshbon seems greater. And that is why we have so much emphasis on this story. That's why Bemis, one of the kinnas, is to remind us of this message. He was right in Pshat and Pasuk, and he was right in what he did and what he thought. But at the end of the day, Yirmiyahu told him otherwise, and he should have listened to Yirmiyahu. It's a message one can think about and talk about on Shabbos. Pshat and V'chev Esav V'Baratzecha. There's an amazing story about the Rechaim HaKadosh. Maisa, it's a Murdek HaMaisa. I should say it over quickly because then today it's nice to tell it to the children. The Rechaim HaKadosh was a wealthy person, and what he did was every Erev Shabbos he would arrange with the Sheikha to shecht a cow for all the Lomdei Torah in the Shtot. And what happened was one week all the animals that Shabbos became treif. All the food, there was no kosher meat in the town at all, except for the one animal that the Rechaim HaKadosh arranged to be shechted for the Lomdei Torah. So there was a very wealthy person, he came to the Rechaim HaKadosh and he said to him that I want some meat because you're giving it all out to the Lomdei Torah. What about my family? You're going to sit on Shabbos with that meat? It's covered your Shabbos, Oinik Shabbos. So he said, we've got nothing left over. I give it every week and I won't give it to them. So he said, look, I'll pay you double and you can use the money to give them to the poor people, and then that way you will have... So the manager, they don't need meat every Shabbos, they're poor anyway. I do, I'm a wealthy person, and therefore, Rechaim HaKadosh said, no, it's my schus to be able to help the Lomdei Torah, and he refused to give it up. So the person started being mevazeh talmidei chachamim, what are they worth, and Rechaim sent him away. That night he had a dream, and he was told in the dream that because he heard bizoyin of talmidei chachamim, and he never protested enough, we would think to ourselves, Rechaim HaKadosh, what schus he got? After all, he could have got a lot of money off this gvir, and he chose to turn it away. But for his dalga, at least, hearing the bizuin of Talmidei Chachamim and not protesting enough, for that he deserved a terrible einash. He decided that because of that he'll go into Golus, self-imposed Golus, to be mechaper on the aveir of hearing bizuin Talmidei Chachamim. And while he was walking from town to town, it was Erev Shabbos, Parashas Bechukosai, and he came up with the question in Bechukosai Telechu, which Chazal tells us, Rashi mentions it, Shetira Meilim Batoira, that the person has to work hard and learn Torah, Hover and learning. It's a tremendous chiyuv b'emes. Even a person who has no intention of becoming a rov, a dayan, he has a mitzvah not just to learn halacha, which he needs to learn how to behave in the day-to-day, but he has to work through sugyas, go through a sugya, and to work at it, even if sugyas which he's never going to have in the Gal Maisa, a main in batei, is a special chiyuv whenever he eats. So he had the question, why does the Torah put in Bechukosai Telechu, Shetiru Aminim Batoira, why is the Torah referred to as walking in the mitzvahs of Hashem? Bechukosai Telechu, walking. Yechel HaTorah should have said, Bechukosai Tasu, Bechukosai Tilmadu. Why do you say in Bechukosai Telechu, to walk? Why the word walking? And the Racham Kodesh, while he was walking to the Shtot, where he was going to spend Shabbos, he thought about this question, why did he say the word Telechu? And he came up with 42 different answers. Can you imagine 42 different answers? And Bemis, in this week's parsha, he brings down the 42 answers which he thought on that journey. Can you imagine 42 answers to one question? If we had more time, we could go through the 42 answers, but we're matriach mitzibu. The ma'aseh, what happened was, he came Friday night, and the gabbah found him somewhere to stay. And after the meal, they were taken to the local rov, who was able through Ruach HaKodesh, and he said that in Shemayim, they're asking the question, Bechukosai Telechu, why does it say the word Telechu, not Tas or Tilmadu? And he said over 14 answers out of the 42, a third. And he said that this is all from the grace of Tzadik, the Rachaim HaKodesh. The Rachaim HaKodesh was sitting there anonymously, and he straight away said, this from grace of Tzadik, is not such a special person. And everybody was very, very annoyed with him, how can you speak like that? And they threw him out. And the next Shabbos morning, he came back to the Rav, and again he spoke to him, and again he gave another 14 answers, and again he said, for shame, the grace of God, the Rachaim HaKodesh, and again the Rachaim HaKodesh. They made the fun of it, and again they were very, very annoyed. Then the host said to him, you know, you've got to be careful, they're going to get very upset with you, but he didn't refuse by Shalash Shudas. They threw him into a prison, the local Kehillah had a prison, and the Rachaim HaKodesh wasn't able to do Avdolah because of the fact that he was stuck in this the Kehillah's prison. And what happened was, there was a storm, that the Rav realized something is going on, and he realized what had happened, this person must be Rachaim, he let him out, and he told him, that's enough with your Golos, you should go home. And Bemis, it's a Moedek HaMais in the Galus of the Tzadikim of previous Deiros. So I want to mention a few of the Mahalchim of the Rachaim HaKodesh, but the Mais of personal stands, could I to see more. I just say a few in Santa Verte, he says, one portion of what he says is, there's a mitzvah to learn Torah when a person's traveling. It's a special chiyuv, that when a person's going on a journey, his mind is anyway not talking about anything. A person should find Torah to talk about. It's very kedai. Some people have the tremendous ability. My grandfather, Alav Hashem, Baruch Shloim of Steinberg, my father told me often, that he had a tremendous koyach. Whenever he used to go anywhere, he always had a word on him. You would just be able to tell people what a kasha, tell us a story on the parasha. It's a lechtecho baderech, it's a chiyuv that a person has to know that when he's going somewhere, some people always know what's going on in politics, some people, you have to know what's going on with Torah. So b'chukosai telechu, they should be learning Torah when you walk. Another word he says is that have a goyle lemokim Torah, that there's a mitzvah that when a person goes to learn Torah, he should leave the comforts of his home and he should go somewhere else where he can learn Torah without distractions. So b'chukosai telechu, they should walk to learn Torah. You should be goyle lemokim Torah. Just say a few more. He says like this. He brings a pasuk in Tehillim. Shtov da Melech said, Chishavti t'vochai v'oshiva v'aglai l'edoy secho. Be'emes the Medrash Rabba in this week's parsha is very, very busy with this pasuk. Chishavti t'vochai v'oshiva v'aglai l'edoy secho. And Medrash says a very interesting loshon. Medrash says that every day David the Melech thought to himself, I'll go here, I'll go there. And he always ended up coming to the base of Medrash. It's very paladic and medrash. We seem to do the opposite. We think to go to Beis HaMedrash and we end up here and there. And he thought he'll go here and there and he ended up in the Beis HaMedrash. And the word is that there's a natural derech that a person is used to. The person is very busy with different things. He hopes to go to the Beis Medrash. He ends up, by the way, bank, and then on the way there, a bit of shopping, and on the way there to meet somebody, and then doesn't get there to the Beis Medrash. But Shengi David HaMelech, he had many things he needed to sort out. He was the king of Klal Yisrael. He had lots of things he needed to do. But he had a tshuka for Torah, as a chashivus for Torah, that even though Chishavti Drochai, he was a king, and he was many things he needed to do, he ended up coming into the Beis Medrash. When Shmuel Birnbaum was nifter, Zech Tzadik Kodesh L'Vorcho, Moshe Shmuel Shapiro gave a hesped in Be'er Yaakov, which I learned in, and he said, I want to tell you one ma'aser which he says encompasses who he was, Shmuel Birnbaum. He said that one time he called me up on a very urgent matter, and before he managed to tell me about it, he said, I have a kash on the Gemara Efshe. And we started talking the learning. He said it was many years ago when phone calls from America to Herzog were not very frequent. And we discussed the sugya. And then he forgot about why he originally called, and he put the phone down, and then he had to call me back because he had forgotten why he called. He says, that is who Gadol Batera is. He also says another word is that Torah has many different mahalchim. Shat, Remez, Dush, Soit, Shiv, Malach, Natera, Bechosei, Telechu, there are many different ways to walk. Another Shat is one final Shat, he's got many others. He said like this, Bechod, Rochecho, Doehu, that a person has to know Hashem in all his different ways, the way he eats, the way a Teredic person, even the way he eats, a Yiddish person, the way he behaves, in his manim, in his outings, it's a different way. Even when he's walking, it's a different way of walking. I heard a very nice word, based on the Rashi a few weeks ago we had. The Rashi says, Lehavdil bin hatomei u'bin hatohei. The Rashi says the Torah has got a chiyuv to separate between kosher animals and treif animals. It says, Rashi, do you need to separate between a cow and a donkey? Everybody can separate. Everybody can see the difference. The answer is, we'll talk about the difference between a cow which was shechted right and wrong, between shechting the majority or just the exact middle amount, exact half the amount of the konam veshet, of the amount you need to shecht. And what is the difference? The difference is the size of a lentil. We talk about a millimeter difference can make between a cow which has been shechted correctly and incorrectly. And now we have the same thing by Klal Yisrael, Lehavdil bin Yisrael lo'amim. So you don't need the difference between a yid who sits and learns to be some medrash and a goy who's busy on going to the pub. That you don't need Lehavdil bin Yisrael lo'amim. Like Rashi says, do you need to separate between a cow and a donkey? Anybody from 1,000 miles away can see the difference. The difference is Lehavdil bin Yisrael lo'amim is when you see a yid going on a walk and you see a goy going on a walk. When you see a yid sitting down to supper and a goy sitting down to supper, then Lehavdil, a person has to be able to differentiate and distinguish. There's a difference, it's a different mahos altogether. It's one's kosher and one's treif. Might only look like a millimeter difference, but it's a different mahos. The way you walk in Torah has to be correct. I just want to say one nekuda about this is like this: that be'emes rachis b'chukusay teleichu shtiu amelim b'Torah, that a person should learn Torah b'amelus. It's interesting because the Torah uses the word in b'chukusay. B'chukusay refers to a choik. A choik. We are used to choik as always poa, duma, shatnas. And here Rashi tells me, and this, the Nekuda of Rashi, is going back to mention in the beginning briefly, earlier, that we're not talking about learning Torah to know the halachas, because that's not a chuk. Everybody needs to know the halachas. If you don't know how to keep Shabbos as the Mishnevor, you'll be Mechal Shabbos. A person doesn't know how to keep the halachas of Tefillah, you won't do the davening correctly. The Bechukai Teleichu is referring to sitting and learning Basmoda and Be'iyun, even things that have no shaychas to your anhaga on the day to day. And that's bemes achuk. And this is something which, even by the most firm, is something that can be a challenge. Somebody says to collecting for kolol, it's wide bad kolol, first sitting and learning upstairs, the Beis Medrash, a chodosh. Think to yourself, well, what are they doing? There's no, we have shtalas for them anyway. What's going on? They're sitting and learning sugyas, which who says that they're negea? That's a mistake. This is the very first thing that the Parshas B'chukosai starts off with. All the brachas of B'chukosai begin with Shetu Amelim Bateu. Obviously, every single yid is B'chuyev Shetu Amelim Bateu. It doesn't make a p'tur because there's a v'ichiv that the people should not be Amelim Bateu. But besides, for every single yid, there's a chiv on the tzibur that they should be Amelus Bateu. All the brachas only begin in Shetu Amelim Bateu. everything afterwards it comes on to more things. So it's like Tishmoyu weiter and weiter. But the first and foremost avoda that a person at Sibur Klal Yisrael need to have, there should be bracha before all the organizations that help for many, many different things. The source of their hatzlacha is shetu amenim batur. When a person is not machshiv that, when a person doesn't help that, he is destroying the very foundation of a b'chukos ha'terechu. And that's why it's taka chui, because it's not always so easy to understand what te'elis is there in amelus batur. A person goes home after a long day of work and he sits and learns a sugya and makas. So he orders. He says, yeah, no, shetu amenim batur, all bracha comes from that. This week's parsha, Pash Bahar, it says Lois Oino twice. Lois Sunish is Hamisoy, Sunish is Ochiv. One's in Oas Tvor, one's in Oas Tibur, and we don't have much time. So I want to say, the Gabo Oino As Momoy, Gmore had it just now, and Dafi Yoimi, the Gmore Nidda as well, that you say that Slocha, the person's in business, is to have Yashus. Gmore says, Mayas Odom, Yisasha, how should the person become wealthy? He has to deal with Be'emunah, and the Satan starts with Be'emunah. And the Gemara also says that's the first question that a person's asked when he comes to Shomayim. It's it's a mudika avoda. And Bemis the Gemara in a number of places says that only somebody who deals b'emunah will be zeicha to Ashiros. We'll look for many scholars for Ashiros, and the Gemara says this is the number one. The Mitzvah Shoim has a loshin, ki rabim yischastu nofim rabim manfei achasidus b'nin sinas ha-betza lo yagiru l'mechoiz ha-shleimus. That when a person, many chassidus in many different ways, when it comes to money, there are very few people that really reach that dag which the Torah requires of a person. And if it's something to be misbrainer and a person who's got time on Shabbos, think about it. Many halachas, a person not even know how to mix new food with old food, and many halachas in the Noah's moment. And another bit is the Noah's Tvorim. The Noah's Tvorim, a person is b'chuyv, not allowed to chepper a person. It's a murder, a avoda, never to cause a person's hurt feeling in his lifetime. Ah, I've got another 10 minutes. Somebody's mistaken the timeline. I just say about a story. It's a Murdeka story. Everybody knows the story of Pinchas ben Yoyi. Pinchas ben Yoyi split the Ginoy River. Imagine you've got a river and he was going to do a mitzvah and he split it. He split the river. Can you imagine such a thing? And what happened was he had a Yid traveling with him and even a Goy traveled and he split it a few times. That story is very, very well known. They were matzah, they want to get them wet. Okay. But what's not so well known, it's a Gemara Yerushalmi. A Gemara Yerushalmi. That the Talmidim turned around to Pinchas ben Yoyi and they said to him, can we split the river? Can we do it? You know, you just saw the Rebbe. Imagine you see a Rebbe splitting a river three times. Can we do it? So Pinchas ben Yoyi said to him, yes, you can. Yes. As long as you know that you've never hurt anybody's feelings in your entire lifetime. That's all. If you've done that, then you can split the river. It's a murder chazan. A person has to be careful never to have hurt a person's feeling. As the Chazanish has got a letter that a person, for one moment of hurting a person's feelings, you've been over this to derisa kavachima for a long period of time. This is a very, very powerful thing. B'emes, the chinuch writes, a person not allowed to hurt the feelings of his children as well. For chinuch, a person is allowed to, so that the person feels for your family members, it doesn't matter as much. It's forget, even for a child, you're not allowed to say something which is upsetting. There's a beautiful story about Shraga Frank in the Sefer Tnua Samusa. It's actually, he was the father-in-law of Issa Zama Meltzer and of Moshe Modcha Epstein. Imagine having two sons-in-law, Issa Zama Meltzer, two Mordek Rosh Hashivas. And he was a very wealthy person, Shraga Frank. And what happened was a kvutza of Yishpik Tawid HaChachomim came to his house and he wanted to serve them tea. And he was a very wealthy person. He had many maidservants, many women that helped him, well, Yidden, but they helped him. And what happened was, so he had like a bell and he rang the bell so they should come in, so they should serve tea. And what happened was, she couldn't bother coming in. She was sitting and relaxing and she, you know, so he rang again, she didn't come in. And all the Tawid HaChachomim were very upset. And they said, what's going on? You know, if you were stricter, if you were more harsh at ordering than my master, then, you know, she would get up and come and serve tea. So he said, no, I'm very, very happy, because we have this Pashas Behalus, you're not allowed to make a yid work beforech. And now that I see that she's so relaxed and so chutzpah, one could say, that I see that have not gone that boundary. It's a boda kavoda. People come home. They want the wives to make a cup of tea. How irritated a person can get. Here you've got a man who's paying a woman. It's like tea, supper. Everybody has their bishagas, what they want to have. Children not helping, a wife not thing, or whatever it is, parents not helping. And you see, here you've got a person, that's why you're zeichet to such sons-in-law, and the person's very, very makpid. You said, no, that's the wrong. That he's so much so that she felt the freedom just to sit there and to carry on doing whatever she wanted, rather than serve the tea. It's a person, it's a mudika chashivus. I just say very quickly that bemus, the chinuch pask is that a person who gets shepherd is allowed to shepherd straight back. That's the halacha. That a person is not mechuv to be like a stone. If somebody shtechs you, the halacha mikah din is you don't mechuv to be like a stone. You can shtech back. That's the halacha. But midas chassidus is not to. There's a sefer chassidim in Tesanta Meis, the sefer chassidim brings, is that there was once a rov who was somebody was very mezalzel in him. And they came to the Rav, they wanted to put the person in Chayim and make a whole machor. And the Rav said, don't bother. So the people, the killer said to him that, okay, you're Meichel and you're covered and everything else. But the reality is, it sets a very bad precedent. Because what will happen is people will see that you can be mezalzel in the Rav and get away with it. And therefore it's important, not for your sake, but for the killer's sake. So the Sefer Chassidim says that the Rav replied to them, why are you so concerned by the people that learn that way? Maybe you should think about all those people that will learn that when somebody is mezalzel in you, that you should ignore it. They should learn that lesson. And therefore, that's what the Kehillah should take away. And he refused to allow them to make any protest on his behalf. And Bemis of Ben Yoni in Shai Tshuva says, that Zo Pesach Tikva Nichbad Me'oid, that one of the biggest hopes that a person can have is when he's mad the Amidoyisim, when the person shtechs him not to shtech back. It's a very important Nekudah. Think about it, that we've all done Averus. And for Averus, a person has to either suffer Gehenna or Yisroel Min Olam Hazeh. Yisroel could be financial loss, illnesses. And one other option is a Pesach Tikva Nichbad Moed. The Ben Yonis doesn't say it by anything else. The most powerful way of getting away from all of this is that the person should have his feelings hurt and be Moichel. That is the Pesach Tikva Nichbad Moed. The person thinks to weigh it up. I was once with someone who's speaking about it. Imagine a person weighing up 6 months of illness and suddenly shtechs him and doesn't shtech. Of course, it's not. It's a very kedai. It's a very worthwhile investment. So, Bemis, there's an Santa Rashi. This is a hard word, but let's see. Rashi tells us that this week's parasha, we're going back to the Teuchicho. It says, Ari Sheva Averus. Or we show in the Gereres Hashnia. There's one Averus causes the next, which causes the next. V'chein Ad HaShviz, all the way to the seventh. What are the seven Averus? Lo Yoloma, the person doesn't learn. Lo Yosos, he doesn't do the mitzvahs. And then Mois Ba'achim O'isim. He despises others that do the mitzvahs. Then Sonia Sechachomim, he starts hating the Rabbonim. Mo'inea Sa'achim Ma'asos, he starts stopping other people doing mitzvahs. Kufa B'mitzvahs, he starts denying in the mitzvahs. Kufa B'ikah, he starts denying in Hashem. And the Rashi tells us that a person who does the first one will come to do the second, the third, all the way down to the seventh. Zev Leshrito was ma'oyed to be this Nekuda. This Rashi seems a bit extreme, very extreme. You've got somebody who doesn't learn, and Rashi tells us that it doesn't take long, he'll go from the next one to the next one, all the way to Kufa Be'ikah. So in Santa, it's something to think about, what's going on over here. With Desla, in the Michta Melochi, the Caliph, page 1 to 2. It talks about the Chivas Avobas. Chivas Avobas gives a lashon that there are some people, bitneyem Eloheyem, that some people, their stomachs is their God. Chivas Avobas gives us that long lashon. And what happens is, in life, people have a tremendous need to justify themselves. And everybody needs a reason to come across why what they're doing is right. When a person has that mahalach, it can lead to many difficulties. Now, sometimes a person hears halacha and he accepts it, right? He never knew it. Somebody is told for the first time, Moshum, you're not allowed to take the bones out of the fish, you have to take the fish out of the bones. Fine. He hears it, he accepts it. Unfortunately, sometimes a person hears something, he decides that that's no good. And then what happens is, he needs to justify it's no good. Somebody told me recently, he was on a flight. And what happened was the Kohanim got themselves into bags. So anyway, he told me this story recently, but it's like a few years ago. and you're sitting next to somebody wearing a cap and everything else, the Israeli said, "Tislach li, zeh kvar muzar. Forgive me, this is very strange, this really doesn't make any sense, it's not true." I mean, for this person, this halacha didn't make any sense that a kohen should have to get into a bag. I mean, sometimes there's a halacha which a person refuses to accept. Now what happens is, Limosh, let's go back to the fish and the birds. That's a person who never heard of chesboira before, and he's taught for the first time, you're not allowed to take the bones out of the fish, you have to take the fish out of the bones. But he's not used to this idea. He's never heard of it before. Now if it's got a shtikul yoshimayim, he accepts the thing. If not, then what happens is like this. Once he doesn't have that, says of Destler, there's a musig of b'tnei Elohim, that person needs to justify his God. His God is what he wants. So what happens? He doesn't learn, he doesn't keep it. Right? I've never heard of this halacha, why should I keep it? It doesn't make any sense, I've never heard it before. But then what happens is that he goes to eat by somebody else, and that person is being makbid, he's watching the other person being makbid, taking the fish out of the boat, all the boats out of the fish, etc. But by him, that's strange, like this person watching the kohanim getting into fire. It's strange by him. So what happens? He starts despising this person. Because of the justification that he needs to be on the right, he will then therefore decide in his mind that this person who's being machbe is a shtikl fuma, and everybody has in their mind somebody who they think is being far too fum. That's a justification people feel because of the fact that they want to feel right for themselves. Yeah, he's being too fum, so mois b'achem oisim. Yeah, he's busy taking the bones, the fish out of the bones, ah, mois b'achem oisim. He looks down upon him, he's got some shugas. Then what happens is, the Rav gets up one day every Shabbos to speak to her, and one day he starts speaking about the chashivos of a chesboira. But this person has already gone on this line of justifying that he's okay. And this Rav speaking, so what does he have to say to himself? That this Rav, he needs to get panosa for himself, he loves money, and therefore he needs to find something to come up with, he likes to cause trouble, he wants to get people to, he's fakoifed to himself, he come up with different chesboiras as to why the Rav came up with such things. And what will happen is, he'll start being mezalzel in the Rav because of his trying to get away. So when the Rav says, Allah is soina sachachomim. And what happens is, people start making a chizak in inyonim, like a Shabbos, Lebosho. When you ask him, he'll put it down, the whole organization, if there's a Shmuel Shabbos. Sometimes you hear that there's a Tznius Vad, or Shmuel Saloshim Vad. And so the person, ach, what are they trying to get at? Being extra, you know, extra fum. Why the person would, yeah? Because the person doesn't, it feels they're too fum. And when eventually they show him black and white in the Shulchan Aruch, these are the halachas, it's kofer b'mitzvahs. It means he starts saying that mitzvahs are impractical. It's impossible to keep all the mitzvahs. Kofer b'mitzvahs, it doesn't mean kofer is down. It's kofer in the fact that mitzvahs are compliant, a person can live like this. And finally, kofer b'ikke, he decides that living with Hashem altogether, living in the service of Hashem, is not. It doesn't work. The kudah is that sometimes the person hears about halacha, accepts it, and gets on, and he learns from it. Sometimes the person's lo lomad, if he's not careful, he can be nichshal all the way to eventually getting to be kofer b'ikke, if he's always trying to, instead of accept, trying to find and push that away from his avodas Hashem. Mishdo b'zeichetak in b'chukei saitilechu shetu amelim b'atera, and then b'zeichet all the brachas in this week's parasha.
Someone asked me yesterday.